Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome to another record-breaking, award-winning episode of Real Recovery, a place to hear stories of recovery, inspiration, a place to relax on a Sunday evening. Just kind of let the joy of the Lord bubble up around you, you know, kind of like soaking in a hot tub under a star-filled night. And speaking of stars, right now, George Fraser is sitting next to someone. Hello, George.
How are you, Bill?
Good. We are a show where nobody refers to anyone as dude or bro.
Did you know that starting this week?
That starts this week. That's okay. A new thing that we're going to implement.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. And, George, I want you to know you can be yourself tonight, which might be the worst advice I've ever given anybody.
It's ratings week. We're live.
No, we're incredibly live, and we've got an incredible show tonight.
We do have a good show tonight, Bill.
Yep. So, we want people to, accept us for who we are, even though they're probably not going to like us.
Ouch.
Well, that's George. That's what we do.
Acceptance is the key to my serenity, Bill. I'm ready to go. Well, let's go to commercial. We've got some other good news this week. We're starting our Christian 12-step meeting.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
In Minneapolis, across from Mount Olivet Church. On 50th and James, 50th and Knox, and it's in the chapel, 7:30 to Thursday.
Mount Olivet Chapel. It's right across from
Mount
the church.
Mount Olivet Chapel.
1700
And it's
going to
be great.
And now where do they go once they get into the building? Do you know?
Enter under the awning.
Okay.
It's nice.
Be more vague.
I can't. Well, you know, I could have gone over and checked it out, but I was busy.
Okay.
I was busy. I'll be there a little early. You're going to be there.
I'll be there as well.
We're going to start with step one. That's my idea. First meeting, we'll go with step one. What do you think?
I think it's a good place to start.
Okay, we'll start there.
And who is it open to, George?
It is open to everyone who wants a relationship or to, you know, deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ.
Say more.
That's it.
Okay.
The only requirement.
But why would I come to a 12-step program? Let's say I don't drink or
come?
Smoke.
Oh, I can think of a lot of reasons you would go, Bill.
Well, but I don't do drugs or I don't drink. I never have.
Right. But you want to improve your walk with Jesus.
Okay. And I'm okay with that.
The only requirement for Christian 12-step membership is a desire to know Jesus on a deeper level.
So
everybody's welcome.
It's almost like a little high-impact Bible study as well, isn't it?
Right. But we're going to be able to share and really talk about what is on your mind without getting on every prayer list in town if you really divulge who you are. And I know for me, I need a place I can tell on myself every week.
So it's a place where you can go and talk about your issues in a very confidential environment?
Absolutely.
And that's one of the tenets of a 12-step program.
We want to be real, we want to be relevant, and we want to be about Jesus. That was pretty good.
Well, there you go, George. You know, every once in a while, you stumble on a little bit of wisdom.
And that was it for tonight.
But
so you're carrying
you're, but
it.
You're able to pick up quickly and carry on as if nothing happened.
You are correct, sir.
So congratulations
Thank
for
you.
That. Yeah.
She's making me laugh. I'm not going to take it. I have no responsibility for my actions. It's Barb's fault.
Well, we're not going to talk about Barb yet. Although she's
not
our...
even here, is she?
Who?
Barb.
No, I didn't think so.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that later. But, George, let's talk a little bit about what step we're going to talk about tonight, not what step we're talking about Thursday at Mount Olivet Chapel, where we're starting a
at
Christian 12-step. At 7:30
on Thursday night.
7:30, lasts an hour, right?
Yes, I'm only there for an hour.
Well, yeah, I'm only there for probably less, so.
Okay. Well, last week here we did step one. So this week I thought we would do step two, which is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, what is sanity? Well, I don't have a monopoly on that, but I believe sanity is living in the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what we need to do is focus on Jesus. And the way we get to step two, I think, is a three-part process. First, we came, that is, we showed up, and we kind of stumbled in the door. And then we came to, that is, we sobered up, came to our senses, and began to experience emotional sobriety, and then we came to believe. We begin our real recovery process when we believe in Jesus. And, you know, step one is we admit we're powerless over drugs and alcohol or everything in our life. And what happens then is if we are powerless, we need to seek a power that can help us. That's how we get into step two.
And we pull no punches on this show when we talk about the power.
We're not looking at the higher power. We're looking at the highest power. Cool thing. You can really have a relationship with a God that created the universe that actually cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
That is astounding to me. I can't get my arms around it, but I will accept it and I will take it.
Well, let's talk about Acts 4:12. You know that from memory?
By no other name are you saved, Bill.
Exactly. So that's the highest power.
Do I get a bonus for that, like
no.
a piece of candy or something?
No.
Okay.
No. But that's the point. That's the point where Jesus Christ is, in fact, the highest power. And that's where you go. That's where we point. And that's why we do this show.
In all seriousness, the call on our lives is that by no other name are you saved. And there's a lot of 12-step people who have medallions for long-term sobriety. But if they don't know Jesus, they don't have eternal life. And that's what's on our hearts here.
And only Jesus transforms life, George. And I love Philippians 3:10. Which says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
That's one of your verses that's a key verse of your life, and you shared that with me many months ago. And the power of the resurrection should be evidenced in our lives by a changed life, correct?
Yes, and how often do you witness the power of his resurrection? When you see a completely transformed life, you are seeing the power of his resurrection.
I'm looking at one now, and there's a couple to my right, and there's one to my left. But we see it every week when we go down to the Salvation Army, too. We also see the power of destruction. My Bible also tells me that Satan roars around like a lion looking for somebody to devour. So here's the deal, gang. We're not in this alone, but there is a war going on, and we're all in it. And part of coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves is there are... Satan is a power greater than I am, and I can get carried away and enticed by my own lust out of the book of James, and I can get a little help from the other side to take me farther down the path. That's why we need Jesus. We need to make this a fair fight, and we can't fight on our own. We don't even want to fight on our own. And I think, Bill, for a lot of people, when they get the idea they want to get sober, that comes from God. That is a true miracle, because a dead man doesn't know he's dead, and that has to come from the Holy Spirit. It has to come from God.
Another amazing tidbit of wisdom from George P. Fraser. Proud of you, George.
It's life experience, man. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's helpful when I don't talk to you all week, because I am actually amazed at what you say sometimes.
You did that on purpose. See, I was hurt by that. I thought maybe you lost your phone again.
No, I
can't. No, you got caller ID now.
No, I've got 6 cell phones.
Okay.
And you only have one of the numbers. So that's how we like to keep it.
So hurt by that.
Yeah.
So hurt.
Well, let's paint a small picture before we go to break about who we have as guests tonight. We've got a couple who have been married 31 years, for starters, and that's a pretty big deal
right off the bat,
isn't it?
Yep.
You know, people say today, you know, in the secular world, if you say you've been married once nowadays, people treat you like you're naive. You know, you've only been married once? What's the matter? Don't you like people? I mean, that's how the secular world looks at Christians.
Don't you like people?
No, I'm just saying, George, I'm saying that there is, you know, the tendency when people have stayed married in this world, you stand apart. You look different.
Absolutely.
You are set apart simply by your commitment to your covenant relationship. That's all I'm trying to say, George.
And you're saying it.
I agree with you. Fine. So.
I think you did a great job.
Yeah, and that's just for starters.
Okay.
That's just for starters, the 31 years of marriage. And they've got a whole bunch of experiences that have really shaped their lives. And I tell you, when you hear stories of inspiration, and I think these are heroic stories, and we're going to delve into them when we come back from a break. We've got about 30 seconds left before we go to break, George, so why don't you tell me everything you know? That's plenty of time.
That's way too much time.
Is that too much? All right, maybe
one of our guests was my BSF small group leader.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right, did you find that out tonight?
I had forgotten it. It's a long time ago.
I figured. I figured the old noggin doesn't work the way it used to.
No, it's Bill, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good.
Anyway, we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to bring on our guests who are here in studio tonight. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser on Faith Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery. You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome back, everybody, to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold with George Fraser. Hello, George.
Hey, Bill.
And I want to mention a couple of things before we bring on our guests. If you want information or need to be reminded of the information regarding the Christian 12-step that we start this Thursday night, which is September 13th at Mount Olivet Chapel, which is across the street from Mount Olivet Church on roughly 50th and Knox.
50th and Knox between Knox and James.
And enter the building and go under the awning.
Green awning.
Look for signs.
It's pretty.
And then hopefully you'll find us by 10 o'clock that night. Wouldn't you say?
That's right. We had somebody go last week.
I know.
Which was nice. We didn't start till next week.
Yeah, and that was not my fault. So if we're playing the blame game, that was your fault.
It was my fault.
Anyway, you can go on our Facebook, Real Recovery with Bill and George. You notice it's never George and Bill? This is another observation I made.
Yeah, well.
But go on our Facebook and you'll get information. Facebook, Real Recovery with Bill and George. You can find out more. If you need to be reminded, go ahead and do that. And also, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, this week at KTIS and the Faith Radio Network, we're doing the big annual, well, not annual, semi-annual fall fundraiser. Is that right, Alex?
That's correct.
Is it annual? Is this an annual event?
Semi-annual.
We're going to do one in the spring, aren't we?
Yeah, but this is like the big one.
This is the biggie.
This is the
big deal.
This, my friends, is the biggie. So get out please get out the novelty-sized checks, the huge ones, the kind that the tennis players win, that they bring on the court. You can even fill out one of those and bring it over, and we'll take a picture. We'll paste it on our Facebook page, because we have very few pictures on there.
It'll look good on that.
Yeah, it'll look great. It'll look great.
We're going to be on a show this week, too, on this, aren't we, Bill?
Well, we're going to be on Connecting Faith on Wednesday.
With Neil.
What's Neil's last name?
Stavem,
I'm just kidding. Tonight was my last night, George. Neil Stavem's, he is Connecting Faith. On noon to one
I
on
listened
Wednesday.
To it.
I know. You've been listening to Neil for 30 years.
I know. You told me to not tell him that anymore. But for our listeners, when I got out of treatment, I started listening to KTIS, and I would listen to Chuck Swindoll every day, Insight for Living, and then Bill Pierce at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it ministered to me. And so years later, when you're sober a while, and you hear Neil Stavem, and you're talking to him, and you know him, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. I'm very grateful that what God's done in my life, Bill. But this station has been an important ministry in my recovery, and now to share that with other people is overwhelming for me. I love KTIS.
We don't have to suck up, job. George, we get the job. They actually have given us the job. We don't have to do it anymore.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. Now let's get on to our guests, because we've got way too much fun coming up. I'd like to introduce to the show Barb Asleason. Barb, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Bill.
There you
Bill.
Go. Just
hello,
a little
George.
Bit closer to the
Barb.
Mic, and we're good to go. Now, Barb, you and, for starters, your husband, Tom, you've been married for 31 years?
Yep, 31.
31 glorious
years.
Glorious. More adjectives. Give us a few more.
Amazing. Productive.
Yeah. Okay, Pinocchio, keep going.
Okay, yeah. It's been great. He's the love of my life.
Yeah, excellent.
I'm happy to say. Love him more today than I did the day I married him.
Nice. And you have how many kids?
Four.
Okay.
Four.
And most of them are out being productive in society?
Yes, they are, I'm happy to say.
Good, yeah. Good. Yeah. Now, Barb, for listeners that don't know you, and that's probably everybody, right, George?
Oh, not everybody.
Well, I'm
not
sure
everybody.
She has some friends listening. We don't, but I'm sure Barb does.
Yeah. A few.
But there is a huge journey, the Barb Asleason story, I'd like to call it that, if I may.
You may call it that.
That has filled with amazing ambition for the Lord.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You've had a burning passion always to serve Christ in your life, and it dates back as early as about 14 or 15?
Yes.
When neighbors didn't have a Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes.
Tell that story.
Okay. I was 15 years old, and my best friend and I knew of four families that were going to go without a Thanksgiving meal. So he and I stayed up all night in his mother's kitchen, and we baked a couple of hams and some scalloped potatoes and a couple of pies, and we went the next morning and delivered them, and it was just really, it was really cool, really cool. And the next year we followed up on those four families and added a couple more, and the thing snowballed to proportions that only God knew at that point in time. And last year we fed about 18,000 people.
And when you say you fed 18,000 people, tell our listeners what program or what ministry that is. How do you define
it? My ministry is Thanksgiving Meals on Wheels. We are not affiliated with the regular Meals on Wheels program. This is something Bill and I started, and that was the name we gave it. And for me, because when I started it, you know, I loved the Lord. I didn't have a heart for him. I can't say I was a born-again Christian at that point. And when I met my husband and really understood, you know, that I could know Christ as my personal Savior and he could be my friend and he did care about me, you know, my whole life changed. And everything that I wanted to do for people, my life verse is Isaiah 6:8. And then I heard the voice of the Lord calling, and it said, who shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me.
Hmm.
And that has just been my mantra, because I do have the gift of mercy, which I call the curse of mercy. It's not a gift, because I just want to keep on doing, and it drives my husband crazy. And I love children. I love children. I serve children at that church.
In what capacity?
Well, I was the Awana Sparky.
Nice.
Director.
And
for,
what age is that?
Kindergarten, first and second.
Okay.
Yep. K-1 and 2.
Okay. And they're all together at once?
No, kindergarten separate.
Okay.
And first and second graders. Are there third graders? First K-1 and 2, 3? Just 1 and 2. Yeah. Well, I did that for, over 20-some years. And
wow.
You were my sidekick there for a year there.
I went for a year.
And then you bailed.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no, I jumped out a window.
Never been the same since.
There's a difference between bailing and jumping
sparky
out a window.
Yep, kids cried for 2 weeks after that.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did.
Well,
yeah.
I think I had...
They're scorned.
I think I had whooping cough most of that winter.
Well, at least you didn't get lice.
Not as far as I know.
Well, so anyways, when you put together my passion for Christ and the gift of mercy and children, it all winds down to loving the Lord and feeding his children. And with my Thanksgiving thing, I started to, I don't know how many years into it, I wanted to feed these people spiritually as well as physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have every year, every box has either gotten a Bible or Billy Graham has been great. Billy Graham has stepped up to the plate and, you know, just given us different different books every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten so many letters just saying, you know, I've always wanted a Bible and I didn't have any money to buy a Bible. And
wow.
Here this Bible was. And it just makes you, it's a cool thing.
And it's in a box with a Thanksgiving dinner inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
And these people are thinking, well, it's delicious looking food.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, and these people are getting Thanksgiving dinners that they wouldn't have if it wasn't
that's kind of
for
our,
this program.
That's kind of our MO. You know, if it's to, you know, we'd love to feed you if, you know, you don't have the means
mm-hmm.
to get it any other way. And we like families,
right?
Because you get a lot of food, and a smart mother can stretch that food out for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. So. Then between the Sparkies and dealing with the young kids and doing ministry and planning for the Thanksgiving bonanza every year,
mm-hmm.
Your plate's fairly full, plus having four kids you're raising.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to lay the groundwork a little bit for the story as it starts to unfold, because there came a time in your life that your God more or less got your attention in a pretty specific way.
Yes, he did. When Tom and I got married, we decided that we didn't want to wait that long to have children, because we both come from large families, and we knew we wanted a bunch of kids.
So kids were just on your brain?
Yep.
Right away. Let's
yep.
start
pretty,
a family. Let's
pretty
get
much,
going.
Pretty much right away. And, you know, not much was happening for a while. And then I got pregnant, and we were overjoyed. We were thrilled, and that wasn't meant to be. And we lost that child. And then I got pregnant again, and the same thing happened. And then we started.
You lost your second child.
I lost my second child.
And a miscarriage.
Yep, we had a miscarriage. And then we started the whole University of Minnesota gig. And the infertility specialists, and we just went through a number of different, you know, tests and procedures and shots and all that stuff. And then I got pregnant again, and after a few weeks or months, I lost the third one. And
okay, let's take a deep breath right now.
Deep breath.
You had three pregnancies and lost all three of them.
Yes.
And the deep desire of your heart and your husband's, your new husband,
yes,
was to start a family and to do it sooner than later.
Yes.
And you both had nothing but the desire to start having kids.
Yes. And it was just nothing but heartbreak.
Three heartbreaks in a row.
Yes.
Okay.
Just it's what I wanted. And I just remember to the very day I was walking down the street. And tears were just rolling down my face. And I said, all right, Lord, we got to talk, because I was broken. I was broken. And I said, you must have something far greater planned for my life than the deepest desire of my heart, which is motherhood. And Lord, if you're not going to grant me that, then you must have something so much better for me serving you that will fulfill me more than having children.
Okay, those are incredibly bold and brave words. Did you really mean those?
Oh, from the bottom
wow.
of my heart. From the bottom of my heart. And I will tell you that after that surrender, I was good.
Mm.
And I'm not lying. I am not lying. I said, Lord, you must have something in store for me that is going to be so great,
George,
that I'm going to be able to say, all right, that was it.
George, I'm looking at you right now, and all I'm seeing is the screensaver on my computer. You know, those wavy lines.
Stunned.
The wavy lines are just kind of moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing when I look at you right now.
Okay. Oh, I'm stunned by that.
Yeah, I am too.
You know, what great wisdom, what great obedience. And how sad that had to be, but knowing that God was going to take care of you. I'm stunned. I'm very impressed by that. I wouldn't have done that.
Right. And I'm going to say this gently. I would assume at some point children was an idol of sorts for you.
Absolutely.
Okay. You're saying that without reservation.
Without reservation.
Okay. And then
absolutely.
That idol got
squashed.
Squashed. That's,
yep.
That's the word I was looking for.
Squashed.
Yeah.
Squashed. That's an adjective.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, let's take a little break, because I need some water, and we need to get ready for the next round of discussion with Barb. Is that
let's
safe to say,
that.
George?
Let's do that.
And then do some push-ups in the room, and then we'll get back to business. So we're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser on Faith Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery. You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome back, everybody. Real Recovery. Bill Arnold with George Fraser. We're having a very interesting conversation tonight. Aren't we, George? Say yes.
Very interesting. I was stunned by that. Alex is laughing at me over there.
Alex loves it when you look stupid.
Okay. Well, he must love it.
He loves it a lot. No, this is his favorite hour of the week.
You know,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on the program. I was listening to that, and we get to a point, and we're, you know, being obedient, we're trying to do all the right things, and we get disappointed. And to hear Barb say, I know you have something better for me, I'm still kind of stunned by that. That's step two, Bill, coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The sanity is that that God does have us, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and he didn't bring us this far to let us down, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But not just spouting off verses, really accepting that and walking with it is what I heard. And to come to that at a very young age, it's impressive at any age. But the acceptance and the obedience, that is step two, in a nutshell.
We're talking to Barb S. Leeson, who's got a very riveting story about having a deep desire. She even called it an idol, this whole idea of her wanting children and motherhood and wanting that more than anything. And then God said no, no, no three times through three miscarriages. And she ended up with a very broken heart and a point of absolute surrender. And that's where we last left off. So, Barb, pick up the story from there, if you would.
Well, once, you know, I was freed from that, and I believe me when I say I was freed from it, as only the Lord can do, I got pregnant, and we had our first child. And my mother has said to me, you know, because I've given this talk before, and my mother has said, well, Barbie, you need to go on and tell these people that you went on to have four children. And I said, yes, I did, Mom, but that's not the story. That's not the point. That is what the Lord used in my life to break me, to surrender an idol that I had. And that's what he used. And we went on to lose another one that was a little farther along in the process. It was the second trimester.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two healthy sons. And then we lost another one. And I'll never forget, I was studying in BSF. I think it was the Minor Prophets. And 1 Samuel 1:26, where Hannah says, I asked the Lord granted me my petition, which I asked of him. And I said, Father, if you ever bless me with a daughter, I want to name her Hannah, because that was Samuel's mother's name. And lo and behold, my next child was a little girl, and her name is Hannah.
Nice.
Past the Kleenex, Georgia.
Yeah, huh? Nice.
Yep, and she's the light of our life. All four of them are. I mean, I've been blessed beyond imagination. I never would have guessed it, but God knew. He knew, and but he broke me, and I.
That was the best part of. I mean, the best part, of course, I'm being very cautious how I say this, but whenever you are involved in God's work in your life, it's always for our better, to refine us, to make us better.
Absolutely.
And it's like Jonah, he didn't send the storm to take his life, he sent the storm to save his life. And some of these storms that came into your life were designed not to take your life, but to save your life.
Absolutely.
Because you, at that point, got very serious about your walk with the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who's this Tom guy you keep talking about?
Oh, he's just...
Is that your husband?
My hero.
Is that your husband?
Are you here?
Well, no. No, we're going to surprise and say, we wish he was here.
I know.
And then we're going to say, oh, he is here. But now we can't really do that gag again, can we?
Sure, we can. We do it all the time on Real World Cover.
Don't we wish Tom was here?
I sure wish Tom was here.
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
hey, guys, I'm here.
All right. Now back off from the mic, Tom. Okay.
I'll never forget the time. First time I saw him, we worked at the Minnesota Daily newspaper in advertising. And he walked in the copy room, and I went, whoa. And I said, one date.
You said one date?
Just one date. I'd love one date with that guy.
Really?
Yep.
Did you get one?
Got more than one. I got four kids, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Still is wonderful. Yeah. But he, you know, Tommy has come alongside me in a lot of struggles, because I was, after I had four children, I was 2 years later, I woke up one morning and my feet were asleep and they never woke back up. And the feeling continued to go up my legs, and I got pretty nervous, and so did Tom. But to spare you guys a long, long story, I was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis. And with four babies, because we had four children. Here, God has a sense of humor.
Wow.
He does. He gave
us... How old were you at the time?
Well, God, let me tell you how God's sense of humor was. He gave us four children in 4.5 years, and we had a miscarriage in there.
Gosh.
Yeah. But then I get the phone call. When the doctor calls you, you know it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what, your spinal tap, and... They came back, you have multiple sclerosis. And I just sat down on my bed and I went, what? Lord, what are you asking of me here? You kidding me?
Mm.
What were your emotions right away? Fear? Anger?
I was scared.
Okay.
I was scared.
Fear. Crazy fear.
Mm-hmm. Crazy fear.
Yep.
And having to call Tom and
your
tell him
guy?
That's my hero,
okay.
Love of my life. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll never forget looking out, you know, my bedroom window after because he came home right away, and I saw him sitting on the curb with his head in his hands, just bawling.
Mm.
I mean, we had just been dealt. We had been dealt a few blows, and that one was major. That was major. And then, you know what? I'm just telling you, the Lord is something else, because I said, Father, if you are going to ask this of me, I'm going to ask something of you. If you're going to ask me to deal with MS, I'm going to ask you to take me to a point in our relationship that I never would have gotten to if I hadn't had MS. Man, he's fulfilled that promise.
Wow.
Neat story. Bill, we look at the condition of our lives sometimes, and we realize that we don't have enough power. We don't have enough power to overcome our problems. We might try with all our might, but it's not going to work. And when we get quiet, we listen, we hear that still small voice inside that says there is a powerful God, and he does have a plan for us, and he is able and willing to help us. And it always helps my faith, Barb, to hear when people do that and to see when people do that. And so thank you for that, because it is the truth. And we can count on that, can't we?
Absolutely.
Did you start trying to cut deals with God when this came into your life? You didn't say, if you...
Never did.
Make this go away.
Never did.
Really?
I never.
Serious? Because I've done that. God, if you stop the balding.
You know?
I promise you, I will do stuff for you.
is that why we're doing the show, Bill?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But
okay.
He didn't answer that prayer. And, you know, I just didn't know if
you didn't pray hard enough.
I know, but I'm just saying. I don't know if you have tried some of those tactics.
I didn't.
Because
I haven't.
You got a lot on your plate. Four kids. And now you got this incredible ministry. You're working quite hard to do very amazing things, to spread his word.
Yeah.
You're feeding 18,000 people every Thanksgiving, putting Bibles in boxes.
Yeah.
Getting out the word. You're teaching second graders.
And then God does this.
And then you get MS.
The nerve.
And she's young at the time,
the
too.
Nerve.
Not the world now, but I mean, you know, later on in life, that might be, a little easier to handle. But when you're young with four young kids, total devastation.
It was. For both of us.
Totally.
But there was no pity party at the S. Leeson house,
there
from
was
what
not.
I can tell.
There was not. I'm not just saying that to say, wow, isn't she something?
I know.
There wasn't.
I've never seen an ounce of pity coming out of you.
And I hope you never do. I pray you never do, because it's Jesus Christ first, man, and me second.
Mm-hmm.
And I never bargained with him. Who am I to try and, you know, cut a deal with Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I shudder to think.
Yeah.
I shudder to think. Because I'm there. My husband, he's had open heart surgery. I'm telling you, how much time do we have?
He's had open heart surgery?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if we have time for that. Do we have time for that, George?
I think we have time for that one.
Okay. So there's additional things
that happen
in the household.
There's more.
We're just starting here.
We had another couple hours at least.
Well,
we're going to have to come back.
Maybe, Tom, maybe you tell us a little bit about what happened one day when you thought, what's wrong with my chest? What's going on with my heart?
You know, it was in 1999, I was having getting some sharp pains around my midsection. We were up at the lake, and I said to Barb, I think I've got food poisoning. There's something going on. And I just started Coumadin because they'd found atrial fibrillation. And we were down in the water, and I said, something's really wrong. And as it would turn out, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. We ended up going to the hospital, getting rushed to the hospital, and there was internal bleeding. My INR, my blood had gone to almost 9, so I bled internally. And that was kind of the beginning of this heart issue. Took me off the Coumadin, was at the hospital, and it was nip and tuck there for.
How old were you, Tom,
days.
When this happened?
1999.
'99.
So
okay.
I was in my
We can't do the math that fast on this show.
Really, Tom can't either.
No,
so
we're all
the same page. See, that's why we're all doing it.
So, so it was a while ago, Tom. Yeah. 99, huh?
Yeah. So, say 99.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was like 15 years ago. But
okay.
But
he was in his 40s.
Okay. In his 40s. Mm-hmm. And now husband Tom brings to the table a big heart issue.
Yes, huge heart issue.
And open heart surgery?
Yeah. Well,
open heart surgery. In 2001.
Did they do that at the mall or the hospital?
Fortunately, they did it at the hospital.
Oh, good.
Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah, because I tried to save money once.
Doesn't work that way.
No, you never just go to the mall for this kind of procedure.
No, not for this kind of thing.
Ear piercing, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pipe down, Alex.
But no, I'll never forget sitting next to his bed. And, I said, Lord, man. Don't take him from me, please. Please, because after he came back from open heart surgery, he was rushed back into surgery, and they sliced him open again and took out his appendix because he was having it's such a long story. But anyways, yeah, God kept on piling it on, and I had a website back here in the Twin Cities, and I journaled the whole thing. And just kept on glorifying Christ through the whole thing, because he carried us both through that.
I think, George, your comment, I remember in 2002 when I had the open heart surgery at Cleveland, thinking there's really everything fell away. The Lord, my family, everything else. And it's amazing how in an instant nothing else matters than trusting in the Lord and knowing how amazing he is, but not sure if you're going to come out of that surgery, but, and then opening up your eyes and realizing you've got life back again. So it's like your step two to me is that you have to surrender. You just have to.
Bill, step two, we're going to need some Kleenex, and I'm going to keep using my sleeve, but yeah. I know you guys use Kleenex. But we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, and without faith it is impossible to believe God because we have to know that he exists. But faith is the assurance and the confidence of things we hope for and cannot see.
Hebrews 11:1.
Absolutely, and you're living it, but when it really comes on one of these tests, then you see your faith's real, but you also see God's real, don't you?
It's so real. We know without a doubt that God has placed some amazing doctors in my life. And with the defibrillators, I've had four defibrillators put in. And the fact that, I've had this thing save my life numerous times. So maybe all of us at this table, we may think about dying occasionally or may come into our head. I think about it every day. I mean, when my heart is pounding, waiting here, I'm thinking maybe something's going to happen. So it's been an amazing trust issue for me because I know a heartbeat. I think about it. Other people don't think about the fact they could drop over tomorrow. I think about it multiple times.
Well, not to mention that's how you lost your dad.
Yeah.
He lost his dad after heart surgery.
Yeah, having a defibrillator put in, pacemaker put in 1970 when he was 43.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to finish up our conversation with Tom and Barb. You're listening to Real Recovery on Faith Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery. You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome back, everybody, to Real Recovery. This is Bill Arnold with George P. Fraser. George, we've had an amazing hour tonight with Tom and Barb.
It's not over yet, Bill.
Well, I'll say when it's over. I'll say when it's over.
Am I done?
You could be done.
I could be done.
No, I'm training a small rhesus monkey to maybe play your role in the show. So just be warned.
Okay, so right. I got some competition. I wanted to get back to this before we left, Bill. We're talking about the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're talking about faith. And I think for our listeners out there, what you're going to get on this show are real stories of real people that have had real crises, real problems, and God comes through. So if you're out there and you're struggling, know two things. God loves you more than you can ever imagine, and he has a plan for you, and he has you. But you have to come to him, and he wants you to come to him, and he wants to bear your burdens. And what we're hearing here is true, and it happened, and he wants, he's got a plan for you. So reach out to him. Right, Bill?
Absolutely. That's very well said. I'm proud of you, George.
Kind of getting emotional over here.
No, I can see that you are.
No, you know, I'm Irish. I cry when they open a new Target. But I'm trying to hold it together a little bit.
Yeah, I see that. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. I can piggyback on that because I'll tell you, with everything Tom and I've been asked to shoulder, we never would have shouldered it without each other. But first and foremost, without Christ, it wouldn't have been done. Our marriage would be over. It has made us so much stronger in our marriage, in our walk with Christ. I am thrilled to say all four of our kids know Christ. So, you know, if I can encourage anybody out there to think, you know, you got it bad, there's always somebody who's got it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to say to myself, you know, Barb, I said it to my kids a bunch of times. If you, the minute your glass is half empty instead of half full, you're doomed.
Mm.
You're doomed. Your glass has always got to be half full.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just got to look at life. You know, man, I've been so blessed. I mean, God's asked a lot of us, but, I mean, I'm happy.
I know you are.
I'm happy.
I know.
And it's the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, so many people say, they go, oh, she's got the joy of the Lord. I do. I do. I just love it.
Yeah. No, it's very enthusiastic. I'd like to ask Tom one more question. And the defibrillator, am I saying that right?
Yes.
It actually lives inside your chest, doesn't it?
It does.
And if your heart, for some reason, were to stop, it would trigger the device to do like it would with the paddles, where they go clear and then they hit you with it.
Exactly.
So it's just a built-in system that brings you back and starts your heart again.
How many volts is that, Tommy?
I probably have it wrong. I know it's more about the amps or something, but it's
gone off like a number of times, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And it could go off any time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about someone that lives close to the edge in terms of depending on God for their very next breath. George, you've mentioned that many times before. That
sovereignty of God, the mercy of God allows me my next breath.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's true. It's true for all of us, but you think about it more often.
I do. I do. And it just is a part of my life, you know, and maybe I obsess about it more than I should.
I don't think you could. I mean, I'd be thinking about it all the time.
Oh, you'd be a basket case.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be just a mess.
I mean, you kind of are now sometimes.
I am as it is.
You know?
But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I couldn't do it either. I'm not throwing stones.
That's, right. Right.
I can make that defibrillator go off.
I bet you can. Yeah. Get into a big argument and boom, off it goes, huh?
That's not what you meant.
That's not what I'm talking
about. Oh, all right. Well, anyway, it's a family show. Was anyway.
The show was
George,
nice.
Say something.
Yeah.
Say something.
Well, Bill, I'm looking at Romans 8 here and 8:11, and it says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. And when we're talking about recovery, when we're talking about overcoming addictions or health problems or life problems or everything, the real goal for us is to have Jesus. So not only do we have life here, but we have life afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about our brokenness and our neediness, and God really gets our attention when things don't work out, and maybe we're not doing anything wrong, maybe we're going to church, maybe we're doing Bible studies, and we get hit by life. And God's talking to us and saying, hey, I'm all you need. I'm here. I love you. I got you. And we're not supposed to worry about anything. And what I've heard from both of these people, and I knew Tom before as my BSF leader, I've gotten to see this, Bill, in action. And then to hear the story behind the story tonight with Barb, it helps my faith. Thank you guys so much. It's a great story. And you're driving a school bus now for little kids?
I am driving a school bus. Living the dream.
Wow.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Bill, how long do you think we'd last that job? 5 minutes?
Oh, no. No. First of all, we wouldn't be able to get it started. You know, we'd be looking for some button to push. You know,
It's a blessing. Wouldn't work. It's a ministry.
I know it is.
You know, I ran into my old school bus driver at my parents' church a while ago, and I went up to her because I knew she wouldn't remember me. And she said, "I do remember you. You're the only student I've ever had who asked me if they could smoke on the bus." So,
that's
you know,
perfect.
Marge was her name.
Fourth grade?
Shout out to Marge.
Fourth grade. So. They say that people that, honestly, kids that smoke marijuana before the age of 18 can end up with a significantly lower IQ. Did you know that, George? This is a scientific study.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, it's just because I assume your IQ is that of a charcoal briquette. that's just a long shot.
If I knew what a briquette was, I'd be insulted by that.
Barb, have you had people come up to you wanting to know where to get your strength, where to get your hope? Because obviously you've had a lot of issues in your life, and come on, that's you're a resource then for people, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, you're a sounding board for people that have problems along the lines of the ones you've had. Maybe they have had health issues or they've lost a child. How do you give them hope?
Wow. All I can, you know, in a nutshell, all I can do is tell people that it is my belief in my Savior. And I can just tell you what Christ has done for me in my life. You know, as one of the bus drivers asked me why I was so happy. And he goes, "Now, don't give me any of all that, you know, your religious stuff."
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not going to shove anything down your throat. All I can do is tell you what he's done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And waiting for the day that he asks me what he's done for me.
Yeah, you don't have any problem identifying with Christ, do you?
Nope.
No, that's really cool.
Nope.
I love it. Don't you, George?
I do, too. Thank you, Barb.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Hugely inspired.
Thank
and
you.
It's always a great time to be inspired by a story like Barb and Tom's. I love the fact that they've gone through a lot of difficulty together, and it's ended up strengthening their relationship and their walk with Christ. And that's, I guess, what life is, George.
They really ministered to us tonight. And we've got a big week ahead, Bill. Christian 12-Step on Thursday at Mount Olivet, 50th and Knox.
Can anyone come to that?
You need to have a desire to, you know, meet Jesus or work on some issues. So everyone is welcome.
Okay, so let's say, for example, you've heard about it on the show, and you want to come, and you're nervous about coming. George, say something that will make people less nervous.
Oh, I'm kind of nervous about it, too. You're going to be there, and I never know where
I'm
that's
going to I'm hypercritical of you.
You are hypercritical. I'll tell you, you're going to have an experience of your life.
Don't oversell it, George.
You're going to see Jesus. I hope you get a place to park.
Really?
And it's only $5 to park. You can pay me when you pull into the lot.
Yeah, because the second week we'll be distributing wristbands.
Do they need a photo ID?
No, they won't. They won't.
No.
But you can come, and even if you're thinking, you know, I'd like to get into a Bible study in my neighborhood, or I'd like to come to a Bible study that allows me to talk about my stuff, and I can do it in a confidential environment. You know, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And there's great value in being able to come and talk about stuff. I think sometimes in churches today, it's a little more difficult to share what's going on in your life.
Oh, gosh, yes. I'm on my best behavior at church, and I need to go somewhere where I can be real, be George, and we'll accept you back. The other thing is for people that are in 12-step programs and you are Christian, we'd love you to come because you can actually talk about Jesus Christ at our meeting and not be scorned or ridiculed or worry about offending anybody. So I'm real excited about it, Bill.
And also this week is the big fall fundraiser. And it starts, I think, on
Tuesday.
Tuesday, as Alex says.
Get your checkbook out, Bill Arnold.
Tuesday, yep. And then we're going to be on Connecting Faith on Wednesday. You and me, is that right?
You
and I. You always correct
my grandma.
I will be on. And we're going to
we'll
go on with Neil. And our goal, George, you and I, when we go on that show, is to raise single-handedly $4 million.
I thought it was six.
Oh, well, let's just split it and make it five.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much of that do we get? We get like 20%,
right, Neil? We get 20%.
Right,
we get 20%.
Okay.
And that will hopefully move us into bigger homes. Anyway, you've been a great audience tonight. Thank you for listening. Thanks to all the people out there. Have a very blessed week. God bless everyone. I hope God is with you in your thoughts and prayers tonight. Good night and God bless.
You've been listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.